We're going to have one of our previous guests that we've had on before, Crystal. And Crystal has been up to her exciting ways, and she got herself another drug charge. And so we're going to hear what she did about it a second time. Crystal, are you with us?
Okay.
How are you tonight, Crystal?
I'm doing good.
For those of you that are not familiar with Crystal, she was on our program a few times in the past, but more specifically, I recall September 12th of 2011, wherein she talked about being involved in a drug case, and eventually the Fresno Police Department came out and arrested her. And this is the young lady that they held for about 43 hours. And at the end of the 43 hours, after about the 200th, I conditionally accept the offer on presentation of a genuine charging or accusatory instrument for my inspection so we can resolve this matter now. Therefore, my business here will be concluded and I demand to be walked from these premises immediately. They decided that she did not have any give in her. Is that a fair characterization, Crystal?
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, Crystal went out and she got another case going. And that case was over more drug charges, Crystal?
Yeah, there were three charges, possession of marijuana, destruction of evidence because I threw the marijuana out the window, and resisting arrest.
Well, well, well. So we got some good stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, understand Crystal. This girl doesn't have any backup gear in her. This is the young lady I said came out for an immersion three times on her first deal and argued beautifully with me for three times each time. But the difference was the girl was listening. And I recall you saying that you went back, Crystal, and you were listening night and day on your MP3 player. Is that kind of fair characterization?
Yeah, I studied hard.
Okay, good. Study hard meant more than like a couple of hours a week?
Yeah, definitely more like 5 hours a day.
Where did you find the time?
Where'd you
find the time to run your business and do that? What'd you do?
I would go to bed at nighttime and I would just listen to the calls and I would listen to the Brandon Adams conferences and just, you know, all the stuff that I could find on your website. I would listen to it while I was sleeping. Of course, I absorbed a lot more when I was awake.
All right. Now, apparently we've had a little more excitement recently in your life, and all of the listeners out there who happen to think quite highly of you with your last performance of success and doing what few seem to be able to accomplish, which is to hold on to their contract, maybe you could recap for us essentially that first day in jail when the Fresno Police Department arrested you. Could you, for those that have not heard Crystal talk about that, maybe you could give us a short recap, and maybe they took you to court, maybe they didn't, all those kinds of things, and then tell us a little short, we're going to fast forward to sometime in 2012, we apparently got pulled over, and I do recall that time, because Crystal called me, and she was telling me all about the things she was doing. And we had a little discussion about what she should or shouldn't do. But let's go ahead. Give us a little recap on the previous situation in 2011 after the Fresno Police Department came out to arrest you at your home.
Okay, they came to pick me up on my property, and they said, don't worry, we're not here for the pot, we're here for you. So anyway, they took me away without providing, or they showed me a copy of the charging instrument, and they didn't let me inspect it, and they processed me, but of course I conditionally accepted my way into a single cell where they held me for, like you said, about 42 hours, and they kept sending some guy, I just called him a nicer dressed cop, to my cell with some paperwork saying, hey, look, you know, Tennessee wants you. We don't have a problem with you. Just sign these extradition papers. Tennessee is going to come get you, and trust me, it's much nicer there. But, of course, I've been to Tennessee jail, so I knew it wasn't nicer. And so, you know, whatever. And so I conditionally accepted his offer.
Wait a second. Are you telling us you've been to Tennessee jails And in fact, yes. It was not nicer?
No, of course not. No jail. Well, so, Alabama's so, pretty bad, but most jails are just the same.
Are you trying to tell us that this guy was lying to you?
Yeah, I would say he was lying. Of course he was lying.
Now, listen to what she just said. Of course. That means in the matter of business, when it deals with the public and it deals with debtors, they lie to the debtors all the time because the debtors need lied to make their lives easier because they can't handle the truth. So when the policeman said it's a lot nicer in Tennessee, well, what did he mean by that? Well, we don't know. It means it could have been like a lot hotter in the cell than this cool, horribly cold 72 degrees where she was. Could have been humid and hot in Tennessee. I don't know. But the one thing Crystal knew is that his lips were moving, and if his lips were moving, there was probably a lie somewhere. So go ahead, Crystal.
So I conditionally accepted his offer, and he said, are you a lawyer? And I conditionally accepted that offer. And then the next day they bring me into court, and I volunteer into the courtroom so that my persons may be liberated from their persons. And I'm given an order as soon as I'm brought into the courtroom to go sit down over there, which I conditionally accept. When told to do that order again under threat, duress, and coercion so that I'm not in contempt, I go sit in the chair. And then they produce the same documentation again, trying to get me to sign, and I conditionally accept. He said, I'm going to take that as a no. Lock her up for 3 months. Throw her back in the cell for 3 months. So this time I conditionally accept my way back into the cell. And I'm not freaking out. I'm, you know, smiling. I'm playing with the officers that are taking me back. Like, yeah, sure, I'll take a check. You know, you can write me a check for $100,000. Why not? You know, like they offered to write me a check. So they put me back in the cell. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, I could be here for 3 months. And I can do 3 months, but I'm going to need something to occupy my mind. So I start in with my new conditional acceptance, which is, under threat, duress, and coercion, could someone please bring me a Bible or some reading material for the health and sanity of my own mind? Like, I'm trying not to be a debtor and ask for something, but I know they've got books around and stuff for me to read, you know? So I'm asking for something, and I'm trying to do it in a way as to where I'm trying not to take a public benefit, because, of course, I've already given back all my public benefits, my toothbrush and everything else, all the papers they've given to me, everything, my wristband, everything went back under the door. So,
hold it. Are you telling me when they slid you some papers or gave you a wristband, you gave it all back?
Of course. Nothing's free.
Why?
I don't need their stuff. It's not mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, we always tell you that when they give you stuff, you got to give it back. Not necessarily your food or necessities, but you don't need a wristband. You don't need a rule book. You don't need that because if you keep that, you've agreed to certain terms and conditions as a holder in due course of those things. So may I suggest that you pay close attention. We call them sliders. Jack refers to it as hot potato. You got to get rid of that stuff. Our friends Bossingham's, they gave them a notice of appeal that was filed by to have a hearing on their notice of appeal. And they kept that to their great chagrin. And it caused them difficulty. Never went to any kind of hearing. They just want to see if they're going to hold on to the instrument. You got to give it right back. Slide it under the door, whatever. We've been over this a lot of times. You can't keep those things. Well, it's just administrative hold paper. It's a paper on my stuff. Hand it back. And if they don't want to take it, drop it to the floor in front of them. Slide it under the door. Get rid of it. And I don't care if you got something to write on it with. Don't worry about it. Slide it back. Let them worry about it. Go ahead, Crystal.
So they arrest me on Monday. They take me to court on Tuesday where I never get to talk to the judge because after I don't sign the paper, the guy throws me back in the cell. Wednesday morning, they bring me a stack of Bible, like not actual Bibles, just Bible material. And so I'm all stoked. I'm okay, I can do this time, no problem. I can do 3 months in the cell. I've got something to read, something that's full of parables. That I can, you know, you can mean 100 things anyway. So about an hour later, they ring into my cell. Mullins, what are you here for? I accept your offer. I'm here for any other reason than waiting for the charging instrument for my inspection. Pack it up. You're going home. I conditionally accept my way out of there, and they discharge me without any court date. She's like, oh, you can go. You don't have any fees, fines, or court dates or nothing.
Well, that's what happened, ladies and gentlemen, our first case. And that concluded back in 2011. And Crystal adhered to a lot of the principles that we have taught her. And she was successful. Now, Crystal's out doing some more business, and she's got some more marijuana, and she's traveling through states that find that kind of conduct unacceptable. Tell us what happened, Crystal, and then to bring us up to the conclusion here and give us a little bit about why you think this stuff's good and what you've been taught here has got any relevance.
Well, we are traveling through Alabama. See, we're medical here in California. Like, I have a medical prescription for my marijuana. So, like, people call it a drug, but really, to me, it's just medicine. So we're traveling through Alabama, and I've got some medicine with me. Not much, just enough to try to get from Alabama to California, you know. And usually when we get pulled over, because we almost always do, I just eat it. But there was so much, like we had like, I don't know, half ounce to an ounce. So I was like, do you want to eat this? And my boyfriend was like, no. And I was like, I really don't either. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to throw it out the window. What can they do to me anyway? Let's see what they'll do. So I throw it out the window, and like a cloud of weed hits the window of the officer's car that's following us. He's speeding in a work zone, which is why they pulled us over to begin with. But we don't pull over for, like, ever. We're just like, I don't know, whatever. And so finally we pull over, and we don't roll the windows down. We just keep asking for the charging instrument and for identification because we don't know who the police officers are, and they act like gangsters and everything. And then eventually I talked to you, and you said, well, get out of the car and go talk to them. And, of course, that point they arrested me. Put me in the back of the cruiser, and they arrested him, and they took our dogs to the yeah, and then they impounded the car, and they held me in a cell without potable water or a toilet for 5 days. And after the first like 72 hours, I started to realize, okay, I haven't signed anything, I haven't agreed to anything, and they're still holding me. So, like, I wasn't sure what was going on. Like, I did, so I guess I was there for 2 days when they brought me into a video court where there was this, you know, a video screen, and there was a, you know, just some people at a desk, really. I guess it was like a magistrate, and he just read me my charges. And what did I say? I said, I'm paramount security interest holder for all property and collateral. And then there was one of the officers there, and he, like, told me, shut up and be quiet or else or something. So I was quiet. They read me the rest of the charges, and they put me back in the cell. So I guess I must have messed up somewhere right there, which is why they held me for over 72 hours. But after
let,
I realized...
Let me ask you. Let's talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. What could she have done wrong? Did you make a statement? Did you say, I'm the paramount security interest holder?
Yeah, I believe I did. When they were like,
here,
I'm paramount security interest holder.
We talk about that being a statement. They said what to you?
They were like Crystal Mullins, and so I was like, I'm paramount security interest holder for all property and collateral, both registered and unregistered, belonging to the defendant, Crystal Mullins.
Half bad in a sense. However, ladies and gentlemen, we advocate strongly that we have to rebut the presumption, and we've got to get the course into being. So they said Crystal Mullins, blah, blah, blah. I would say I conditionally accept the offer on proof of claim that, one, you can identify the accused party, and, two, upon proof of claim that I am not here as the priority security interest holder in all property and collateral, both registered and unregistered, belonging to Crystal Mullins, and an accommodation party appearing specially, not generally, merely for the purpose to give notice of my tender of payment of any charging or accusatory instrument for my inspection and execution, and on proof of claim, the failing to produce said instrument or refusing my tender of payment doesn't constitute discharge. Therefore, my business here will be concluded, and I demand to be walked from these premises or these restraints removed to be set at liberty. So that's what I would start out with the new improved version, Crystal. And you can play this back and you understand it, because we need to rebut Crystal Mullins this and this. Somebody said, are you Crystal Mullins? By saying what you did is not all bad, but if it had been in the form of a conditional acceptance and fully done, you know, and you let them finish speaking, you don't want to interrupt the judge because you're going to get your chance to speak.
Yeah, now, well, they'd given me a chance to speak, but the officer interrupted me when he didn't like what I was saying.
Now, that's right. And when he said, shut up, you shut up, didn't you?
Yes.
That's kind of like the toothpick question we bring up, ladies and gentlemen. If you take an order, can't you take them all?
Yep, absolutely. So I knew I messed up.
Yeah, there you go. Not only did we not rebut that we were Crystal Mullins, we also made statements, and then when we were told to shut up or be quiet, we followed the order. I think that's quite a bit that would cause our friend Crystal to be detained. But that's okay. Crystal, you know, understands some basics. When you slip up into something like that, like she did, sometimes the better part of valor is to bond out and start anew. And so, Crystal, why don't you tell us what you then did, because I think that's pretty cool. And then it gets on to a whole lot cooler to like a straight up cold, right? Nice.
Well, at that point, I realized that I had done something wrong and I needed to bond out. So I got that process going and I was held for still a few more days. It took me forever to get to a phone anyway, you know, because I was still trying to be a creditor at that point. And by the time I got to the phone and bonded out, I'd been in there 8 days. And every single day, every single time an officer came to speak to me, it was a conditional acceptance that ended with me leaning up them and their superiors for holding me without providing the charging instrument for $1 million. So I bonded out, and I had court the next day, and I went into court. They called my name, and I stopped before I entered the bar, and I said, I reserve all unlienable rights upon entering the bar, and I walked up to the judge. And he said, Crystal Mullins. And I said, I am paramount security interest holder for all property and collateral both registered and unregistered belonging to Crystal Mullins. And he said, keep talking like that, and I'll have you shot for treason. So,
isn't that cool, ladies and gentlemen? Now tell us, what was your thought when he said, I'll have you shot for treason?
You can't have me shot for treason. All I do is throw some pot out the window.
But that's what you were thinking. It's not a something they can shoot you, so it's kind of cool. So go on.
So I said, under threat, duress, and coercion, you may reference me as Crystal Mullins. So he turned to the lady standing next to me, and he said, oh, you're her lawyer. Maybe you can talk some sense into her, but I doubt it. Crystal, go talk to her. So I went over to her and I said, hey, look, I want a dismissal of all charges because the officer never provided the charging instrument and never provided ID. She said, well, the charging instrument's right there. I said, well, I will accept all charges upon presentation of the original charging or accusatory instrument for my inspection. She said, go ahead and inspect it. So I grabbed a pen, I put my banker's acceptance across the top, and she started going, uh-oh, and I handed it back to her. She walked it up to the judge. Judge looked at it and said, contempt of court, arrest this woman immediately. I said, I accept your offer to put me in contempt of court, Judge, upon presentation of the original charging or accusatory instrument for my inspection. He said, bailiff, arrest her, get her out of here. So they took me back to jail, and as they took me back, like I said, I was a creditor the whole way, you know, very respectful, conditionally accepting my way back into the cell like a queen, smiling, being nice to the people, being nice, you know, you don't freak out. You got to show them that you have faith and that you have confidence that what you did worked. Because if you lose it, then they're going to know that you really don't have faith, that you really do think that that judge can shoot you or lock you up and throw away the key. But they just can't. So anyway, they put me back in the cell, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, either I messed up and I'm going to be here for a minute, or any minute now, they're going to come let me out of this cell. Any minute now, or I messed up, or any minute now. Like, I kept going back and forth.
Hold it, Crystal. I'm finding something interesting here, ladies and gentlemen. Crystal keeps asking when she doesn't get her remedy what she did wrong. How come I don't hear you thinking, why are they to blame? Why do you keep going to, it must be something you did wrong?
Because these guys are experts, man. They wrote the book.
So you're in concurrence with us in that they always do it right. And if we don't get our remedy, then it's something we did wrong. And listen to her, ladies and gentlemen. She's saying, I must have done something wrong. What could it have been? And she's thinking and thinking, but now go ahead and go on.
So I'm thinking and I'm going back and forth between I did something wrong and they're getting ready to let me out any minute now. Any minute now, somebody's going to come and let me out of this cell. And sure enough, I was there about an hour when they came and they let me out of the cell. And I said, so what's going on to the lady, you know? Because she was the only person in the entire place that really even talked to me. After I conditionally accepted and leaned them all up for $1 million, there was only two people in that entire facility that would check on me and see what I needed. Nobody else wanted to talk to me because they were all scared of me putting liens on them all the time. So anyway, she was like, oh, your boyfriend will explain everything. I was like, how will my boyfriend explain everything? He doesn't work for you guys. So I get out, and he said, well, you have court tomorrow, apparently. So he told me what happened after they arrested me. And what happened was, after they arrested me, they kicked him out of the courtroom. He went down to the clerk of courts, wouldn't leave the court building. I guess they told him he had to leave, and he wouldn't leave. And so he was, like, trying to figure out how to get me out or if I had any kind of bond or anything. And the arresting officer personally escorted him up to the judge, where he purged my contempt by pleading mercy on the court, begging forgiveness, and saying to the judge, if anybody can convince her, I can, I've already hired my lawyer to represent her. If anybody can convince her to listen to the lawyer, I can. He helped me find remedy, so I'm sure that he can help her. So I'm sure that I can convince her that he will help her find remedy. And as he's saying this to the judge, the judge's secretary is whispering into his ear, we need to get her out of there right now. We need to deal with this now. And the judge says, bailiff, go get this woman immediately. I'm issuing a bond right here on my own signature, like signs a piece of paper, hands it to the bailiff. Bailiff comes and gets me out.
Then what?
Then we got the hell out of there. I had set off the charges. Why would I go back into their public court tribunal where they're threatening to shoot me? I went home.
Did they send you some kind of final resolution, like the dismissal of the action?
Well, what they did was they sent me the charges again and gave me a new court date. So I sent them a notice, a constructive notice of conditional acceptance, saying, you know, the undersigned conditionally accepts the respondent's offer to come back to a public hearing on June upon proof of claim that this matter was not set off, settled, and closed on June 8th when undersigned accepted for value, returned for value for set off settlement closure all of the charges. So I made an abatement of the public proceedings, and then I filed an affidavit of specific negative avertment and a notice of international commercial claim, administrative remedy, that basically for the arresting officer, because when I got my vehicle back, it was missing a MacBook, an iPad, a Kindle Fire, an iPod, a backpack, MP3 stereo cord, a bunch of medicinal reishi mushrooms that are non-hallucinogenic and non-illegal, and just like random stuff, like a piece of paper with the officers, arresting officers' names written on it, because we were making, like, you know, notes as they were arresting us. So they basically robbed my car. So I sent them that, and I also sent a notice of termination / conditional acceptance to the public defender, you know, with the private asset compensation, and that you don't argue the facts, and that you bring set off settlement and closure on the private side, and that you're personally converted on all liability. So I sent in that packet, and just the other day, they returned to me an order on motion to dismiss. The court, having received a copy of the defendant's constructive notice of conditional acceptance, interprets the same as a plea of abatement or motion to dismiss the above styled cases, and after due consideration thereof, it is ordered, adjudged, and decreed that, one, the above styled matters are hereby dismissed upon the payment of court costs and fees in each case. Two, any and all bond proceeds being held by the clerk of court shall be applied to the payment of costs and fees in each case. And three, any monies remaining after payment of costs and fees shall be released to the payer of said bonds. And then they sent another one that said, order terminating appointment of court-appointed attorney. The court, having received the defendant's notice of termination / conditional acceptance, does not approve the terms and conditions demanded by the defendant, and therefore treats the defendant's filing as a request to terminate the services of her court-appointed attorney, the Honorable Tommy Jean Wilson, and therefore it is ordered and decreed that the services of the Honorable Tommy Jean Wilson are hereby terminated, and she is withdrawn from representation of the defendant in the above-styled cases. And then they sent me basically like a receipt where they applied my bond money to the court case and fees, and they sent a little note that says I will be refunded $621 in October for the remaining bond.
Well, there you go. They offered to give you your money back. I hope you're going to send in acceptance. I received your notice that you'll be returning that. Thank you very much. I look forward to receiving those monies in October.
Yeah, and I was thinking about sending something to the officer about dropping the counterclaim if he gives me back my stuff. Because I filed a counterclaim because he took all my stuff, and I'd been, you know, saying, hey, you can keep me, but it's $1 million a day, and they agreed to that too. So, you know, I was like, basically in my counterclaim, I said, I'll settle for $800,000 if you don't drag this out through a bunch of court. But since they dismissed the case against me, I'll dismiss the case against them so long as they give me back my stuff. Otherwise, I guess I could let them lease or purchase my items for a reasonable amount to me.
Well, I'm sure
you didn't
you'll
really
get all
want
your
to sell my
stuff.
iPad or my computer, huh?
I'm sure you'll get all your stuff back with the right paperwork. So long and short is, ladies and gentlemen, kind of cool that our young lady is able to effectuate a couple of cases rather nicely. Let me ask you, Crystal. Why do you have faith that this stuff works? Why do you believe that you have rights and that they have to give you the charging instrument? I mean, why do you believe that?
Well, because we are a civilized nation. And in a civilized society, we do protect each other. And I do feel like we have created laws to protect each other. And if we know how to treat each other and we don't hurt our brothers and our sisters, then there's really nothing that anybody can do to us because we haven't really committed a crime. So I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I guess I just have faith that God's protecting me and not some judge. And if the judge is corrupt, then God is going to punish him and God will find me my remedy because it doesn't really come from man. I mean, I guess the laws came from man, but the freedom was given to us by God, was it not?
I wholeheartedly agree that you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, of course, we all know, ladies and gentlemen, that rights and duties are correlative. If you have the right to do certain things, those rights are also delimited by corresponding rights held by others and the state's legitimate interest in appropriate regulation. And appropriate is another word for private. So, you know, if the state has some regulations, the question is, are you subject to those regulations? Well, as it relates to an ordered and jural society, I think it is. As it relates to other certain unalienable rights granted by your maker and not the government, we got a different deal altogether. So, Krista, we thank you so much.